song, the All-American Boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Every star can be champion. Roam throughout the land.
We hear Breakfast of Champions. Bring the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Look, I want every girl within the sound of my voice to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Today is the last chance I'll have to urge you to send for your luminous Gardenia bracelet. Now, I know that once you've seen and worn this unique bracelet, you'll be mighty enthusiastic about it. The luminous Gardenia bracelet is made of five beautifully designed Kruberlite plastic gardenia. Each little flower has a glossy green background of realistic gardenia leaves. Just think of owning a bracelet that actually glows in the dark as if it were filled with a soft green fire. A bracelet that can be taken apart and worn in your hair or as a necklace or as a decoration for your dress or coat. Why, there are a number of different ways you can use this bracelet. And when you're not wearing it at night, it can be used as a luminous decoration in your own room. But remember, the luminous gardenia bracelet is just as attractive in the daytime as it is at night. The ivory-like plastic flowers against the smooth, glossy green background of leaves gives the bracelet a natural beauty that will make your best-looking clothes even more attractive. You'll be able to wear it to school, to parties, to the movies, and, well, just about everywhere you go. It'll give a touch of spring to your late winter outfit and harmonize beautifully with your spring clothes. And say, here's a mighty good idea for you fellas. Why not order a luminous gardenia bracelet as a surprise for Mother? She'll get a lot of real pleasure out of it. You can take my word for that. Now, this offer absolutely closes tomorrow at midnight. That gives you less than 36 hours to get your order in the mail. So do this right now for sure. Just send the top off one Wheaties package together with your name and address and 25 cents, one quarter, to Betty, care of Wheaties, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all there is to it. Your bracelet will be on its way to you just as soon as we can get it packaged and mailed. Now remember those instructions. Send the top from one package of Wheaties together with your name and address and 25 cents in cash to Betty, care of Wheaties, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, that's certainly simple, isn't it? But if you delay, you'll miss your one and only opportunity to get one of these remarkable bracelets. Remember, your order must be postmarked not later than midnight tomorrow. So get busy right now and put your order in the mail for a luminous gardenia bracelet tonight. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Jack Armstrong and Billy Betty Knuckles Jim are following the Nandaya chief to his village in the interior of Mindanao. They are searching for the missing Professor Loring, whom they know is held a prisoner somewhere in the village. They have just outwitted the Bagani, the medicine man of the village, and have convinced the chief that their magic is more potent than the Bagani's magic. They have also made the chief believe that the wooden gods whom the Nandayas worship are on their side. Right now, while the beachcomber Whisper waits in the autogyro airplane on a nearby lake, and Manuel walks ahead with the chief, Jack and the others are approaching the village and keeping a sharp lookout for any sign of the captive Professor Loring. Listen.
Why, Jack, this is the funniest looking village I've ever seen in the Philippines. Look how high the shacks are built above the ground.
Boy, they are up in the air, aren't they? Why, some of them must be built on posts 30 feet high.
Jumping, Jimmy, they must use a rope ladder to get in and out with.
You're right there, Billy. I can see some of the ladders from here. They're made out of hemp and bamboo. I imagine they pull the ladders into the shacks after them.
But why do they have the shacks built so high, Uncle Jim? Are they afraid of wild beasts or something?
They're afraid of the Moros, Betty. This particular tribe of Mandayas is sandwiched in between the Moros of Sultan Baloa and the Moros of Sultan Natang. And Baloa's Moros have a wicked reputation for attacking villages at night and carrying off the inhabitants for slaves.
Well, they look safe enough from attack now.
They're not as safe as they look, Jack. Manuel tells me that sometimes the Moros attack and burn down the posts under the shack, and the shack falls down and just too bad.
Holy smoke, are we going to have to climb up into each one of those shacks to find where Professor Loring is kept?
Not unless we have to, Billy, and I hope we don't have to. The great god Kalana, with the help of our loudspeaker, told the chief to release Professor Loring to us.
Oh, but do you think he will, Uncle Jim? Do you think he will obey the wooden god?
I don't know, Betty. He's afraid of Sultan Baloa, and it's Baloa who makes him keep Loring a prisoner.
And the chief is still afraid of the Bagani, Uncle Jim. That medicine man will never forgive us for making that wooden idol talk.
Say, where is the Bagani? He didn't come with us when we left the temple. I'll bet you that guy's up to some mischief.
Oh, I know what he's doing. He's staying behind to try to find out how we made the great god Kalana talk.
Yeah, I'm afraid he is, Betty. He'll probably climb that walkie-talkie set we planted inside Kalana.
Jumping crickets, I hope he doesn't smash the set.
Well, I hope he doesn't bring it to the village and show it to the chief until after we've found Professor Loring, Billy. If he does and the chief realizes that we've tricked him, we may have some trouble.
Oh. Uncle Jim, what will we do then?
We can always tell Whisper to fly overhead with the autogyro, Betty. That'll frighten the tribe.
But how will we get word to Whisper whisper, Uncle Jim?
That's easy, Betty. I got my walkie-talkie radio set strapped to my back. And Whisper's keeping his radio set in the plane tuned to me. So you see, we can talk to each other.
Yeah, may have to talk to him, Jack. Look at those warriors waiting for us. And they've all got their bows and arrows with them.
Oh, I don't like the way they're looking at
us. Me either, Betty. Some of them are probably the same ones who shot flaming arrows at us in the gorge.
Well, we won't have to worry about them for the present, Jack. See? Chief is getting a signal. The warriors are forming a half circle. Why, they're sitting down on the ground.
Well, it looks as if they're getting ready to hear a speech or something.
When are you going to ask the chief about Professor Long, Uncle Jim?
Malu has been talking about Professor Long to the chief all the way here, Betty. Here comes Malu now. We'll see what luck he's had. Well, Malu, what's the chief going to do now?
Him going tell him men, great God Kalala spoke him, Uncle Jim. Him going tell him men, you mighty medicine man. Him tell him men, they no must hurt you.
Is he going to tell his men what Kalala said about giving up Professor Long?
No, Jack. Him no tell him men about that.
But why not, Malu? Isn't he
going to
give up, Professor
Long? Me ask him, Betty. Me tell him white medicine man wants him white prisoner.
What did he say to that, Mario?
Him say him no got white prisoner. Him say him never have white prisoner. But him lie. Me know him lie plenty much.
But Sultan kept this, Mario. Isn't he afraid to disobey Carlana?
Him afraid, Billy. But him afraid the Sultan the Lord, too. And him still afraid of Bagani.
Oh, what are we going to do, Uncle Jim? The chief won't let us search all of the shacks of the village.
You're wrong, Betty. He say if white man not believe him, white man can search all through village.
If the chief says we can search all through the village, it's a sure sign that Professor Loring isn't in the village. He must be hidden somewhere outside the village.
Me think you're right, Uncle Jim. Me think he's hidden in temple.
You think he's in a temple, Manuel? In the temple we just come from?
No, Josh. He's not in that temple. Me think he's in another temple.
But great guns, Manuel. Do you know where the other temple is?
Me not know, Billy. But maybe we keep eye open, we find out.
Well, the chief has finished his speech. And this is as far as we can go unless we want to get between the chief and his men. Manuel? I want you to tell the chief that the white medicine man is very angry at him. Remind him what the great God said, that my magic is bad magic for him unless he releases his white prisoner.
Me tell him, Uncle Jim, but him not do what you say. Wait, you see? You see who come?
Where?
Okay.
Oh, what's that?
He's been giving me words, Betty. Here comes the Bagani. And he's still dressed up in a scarabao and crocodile skin.
But that is low, Billy. Look what he's got in his eye.
Holy smoke, he's got a portable radio set with him. He's sitting from the inside of Kalana.
I don't know, Betty, but I can guess. He's going to show it to the chief. He's going to tell the chief that the great god Kalana didn't really talk at all.
But neither the chief nor the Bagani has ever seen a radio before, Uncle Jim. It'll still seem like magic to
him. Sorry, Jack. It'll still be magic to them, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is whether Kalana actually spoke to the chief or not.
Do you mean if the chief believes it wasn't Kalana who spoke to him, but just our magic radio set, and the chief won't do what Kalana told him to do?
That's exactly it, Billy. He may still be afraid of the sound magic, but he won't be afraid of the anger of the wooden god.
Oh, isn't there anything we can do to keep the Bagani from explaining it all to the chief?
I'm afraid not, Betty. We can't very well stop the medicine man by force.
I have an idea, Uncle Jim. Maybe we can keep the chief from listening to the Bagan. Maybe we can make him good and mad at the Bagan.
How do you do that, Jack?
I'll show you. Where's Manuel?
Oh,
here he is. Manuel, I want you to say something to the chief that'll make him mad.
Well, Jack, you know on the sun.
Here, I'll show you. I'll get out the mic to myself. Here it is. Now, just as soon as the Bagan gets to the chief and starts to tell him about finding that radio set inside Kalana, I want you to call to the chief.
Oh. See what you're doing, Jack. When Manuel speaks into the mic, he'll come out of the radio set that the Bagani is holding.
That's right, Betty. And the chief will think the Bagani's talking.
Golly,
that's a swell idea, Jack. You'd better hurry, though. The Bagani's almost here.
Here, Manuel, you get behind Billy and Betty and me. Then no one will notice that you're speaking into the mic. When I turn on the switch, lay it on safe.
Oh, me on the sun, Jack. Me tell you something he not like.
There's the Bagani now. He's holding onto that walkie-talkie for dear life. All right, Manuel, talk into the mic.
Look at the Bagani.
Tell him some more, Melua.
Oh, look at the natives. They're jumping to their feet.
Stop trying to catch it. We've started something now, Jack. Hey, this is getting serious. The chief is reaching for his knife.
Oh, look at the Bagani. He's taken off his tail bowhead. He's trying to explain to the chief.
But the chief isn't listening, but he's walking toward the Bagani with his knife in his hand. Boy, is he mad.
It's gone a little too far, Jack. Things are getting out of hand. Melua, say something that will make the chief feel better.
Me say something, Jim. Me laugh. Me make them all laugh. You see?
All right, Melua, laugh into the mic. Stay for the work.
Oh,
Listen to Jim. What's coming through the village? Why, it's a Moro.
I see him, Jack. From the way he's dressed today, I ran Moro. Who is Magua? Do you know him?
Me know him, Uncle Jim. Him come from Tintang Baloa.
From Tintang Baloa? What's he doing here?
Me not know, Jack. But me think him bring loot. Maybe these battles start to Baloa and Tintang Natang. But maybe him come talk to white prisoner. Me find out soon.
Say, what's up now? Has this important-looking Moro from Saltimore defending battle? Or has he come to make one final effort to get Professor Loring's secret from him? In either case, there are going to be exciting doings in that Mandayan village very soon. So be sure to listen in, all of you, at the same time next Monday for another thrilling episode of The Adventure of the Missing Professor Loring with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Look, this is absolutely the last call on the luminous Gardenia bracelet. Yes, it's the very last time I can tell you about it, so listen carefully. This is your grand opportunity to own a bracelet that's absolutely new and different from any you've ever seen. Just think, you can now wear a beautiful plastic gardenia bracelet that actually glows in the dark. One that's just as lovely at night as it is in broad daylight. So if you girls want one for you, or if you fellows want to order one for Mother, this is your last chance. Your order must be mailed later than midnight tomorrow. Now there's no time to waste. Send the top from one Wheaties package, together with your name and address, and 25 cents, one quarter, to Betty, care of Wheaties, Minneapolis, Minnesota. But hurry, after midnight tomorrow, you'll be too late. Get your order for a luminous gardenia bracelet in the mail tonight.
Hey, the Wheaties, therefore we could follow the brand.
This is Franklin McCormick, the Vital Monday for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-